Former U.S. Vice President Al Gore gives COP29 attendees a piece of his mind.
The single state of Florida has more solar panels than the entire continent of Africa. This is a disgrace!
Climate activists send a letter to the conference leadership calling for oil industry lobbyists to be banned.
It is a big problem when the fossil fuel industry is involved in climate negotiations.
Today is Friday, November 15th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
These scientists say in this peer-reviewed study, we estimate a collapse around mid-century. What? Some of the load-bearing elements of our entire Earth ecological system are at risk. And what are we doing? Just talking away, not making much progress.
Former United States Vice President Al Gore slammed the fossil fuel industry in a fiery speech at COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan, on Friday.
The fact that the scientists who predicted all of this decades ago have been proven dead right should cause the rest of us to pay more attention to what they're telling us now. Do we listen to the polluters who don't want to do anything meaningful that might reduce fossil fuels, or do we listen to the scientists who have been telling us what we need to do?
At the conference Friday, pro-climate activists rallied against oil industry lobbyists. Here's Rachel Rose Jackson, Director of Research and International Policy, Climate at Corporate Accountability International.
This morning, the Kick Big Polluters Out Coalition released new research that exposed that there are more than 1,770 fossil fuel lobbyists roaming these very halls. These halls are meant to be the halls of climate action, but instead we have more than 1,700 snakes slithering about, poisoning climate action, spreading their toxin, and killing climate action all so they can make money.
Delegates at the conference have been reacting to a letter calling for an urgent overhaul of the talks. The letter, signed by leading climate figureheads, accused the global climate process of no longer being fit for purpose. Another activist, Catherine Abreu, director of the International Climate Politics Hub, says there needs to be rules that keeps the oil lobbyists out of the climate conferences.
They're here to take us backward. The UNFCCC needs a conflict of interest policy that puts a firewall between all things climate change, all things UNFCCC, and all things fossil fuels.
Well, Lori, you know, last year at COP28, they were talking about how the oil industry had hijacked the process.
Well, it does seem counterintuitive to have oil lobbyists helping with decision-making about climate when the whole concept for reducing greenhouse gas emissions is to reduce the use of fossil fuels.
I mean, I could understand why you would want legitimate and earnest participation from the fossil fuel industry in climate talks, because you have to wind down the use of that energy source. But their claims are they are sabotaging the work of climate change.
Mm. Well, let's get some more info on the first week in general of this year's climate conference, COP29. Attending in Azerbaijan is reporter Shermaine Lee, and she joins us now.
So thanks so much for taking the time to join us from the conference.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I guess the really big question here about this year's COP is, what's the mood knowing that the United States is probably going to pull out of the Paris Accord again?
So I do think because it happened so close to the start of COP, it is indeed a big topic that a lot of people talk about during COP. So there is, from the conversations that I have with people here, that there's a general sort of thought that like Trump leadership would be undoing the IRA of the Biden administration. But I think on the first day, John Podesta, the U.S. senior presidential advisor for climate policy did insist that, like, even under Trump's presidency, the IRA would still stay on. So I do think, like, on the U.S. side, they are very strong about how the current climate policies and also what they've been doing here wouldn't be tarnished, even if the leadership change hands. And I think people are still trying to be optimistic about the change of leadership as well. For example, the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Mottley, did say to Guardian that she wanted to invite Donald Trump to a face-to-face meeting to find common ground and persuade him climate action is it's in his own interest.
What also I find interesting is that there are some reports, including in the Wall Street Journal, that the Trump victory leaves China calling the shots at COP29 and that China appears to be more committed than ever.
I do think it depends on who we ask, of course, but I do think that I think a lot of people do feel that, like, the future of climate commitment of the U.S. is quite uncertain. So for that, it could be comparatively that China seems to be indeed a lot more committed. And from the experts that I talked to, they also say that China has been actually quite committed. Also, like, in terms of policies with, like, a consistent leadership for climate, it is actually quite beneficial in a way because that the policies can actually stay on.
You mentioned Barbados, and this didn't come as a surprise to anybody at the conference. So what are some of the other things you're seeing about people stepping up to try to reach the goals set last year at COP28?
So for loss and damage, I do think there's quite some good news. So it was established last year for the Global North to pay for the climate disasters damages for the Global South countries. And at the time, it was established that it's voluntary. It will also be managed by the World Bank. It attracted some controversy at the time. And then in this COP, actually, quite some countries, again, agree to contribute a new fund to it. And they also agree, actually, that it would start financing projects next year. So I do think it's earlier than expected because last year there were a lot of voices about how they don't know when the money could actually reach the people in need. But now that they agree that the financing would start next year, there's quite some positive mood around it.
What are some of the other main issues that are being discussed or expected to be discussed?
So I would say two things. So one is that the biggest goal for this COP would be to come up with a new collective quantified goal, which is a climate finance goal, especially from the Global North countries who are historic co-emitters, to pay for the Global South countries to help them reduce emissions and also build resilience to climate disasters. In 2009, they actually came up with a goal, which is around $100 billion a year from these countries to developing nations. And this goal is quite obsolete, actually. And now the estimate is at least at $1 trillion a year. So now they have to come up with a new number, and this negotiation is still going on. I think everyone is monitoring that very closely. Because COP29 is called a finance COP, this is the biggest negotiation for this COP. For another issue would be the carbon market. On the first day of COP, there is already some good news. All of this is a breakthrough of negotiations of Article 6.4, which allows a bigger global carbon credit trade that also involve companies and individuals. So previously, they agreed standards for carbon credit trade is mostly from country to country, especially within the UN. But now, once this Article 6.4 passed, companies and individuals can also submit their project under this system. But of course, the negotiations are not completed yet. So countries still have to sort of really iron out the details of the rules of the new carbon market trade.
Would you say that the mood is still optimistic?
I do think so, because I think a lot of people are doing a lot of bilateral meetings. So there are some government ministers that I talked to, and so they are actually able to form new relationships and projects and get funding for their own climate projects back home, especially for the Global South.
Shemaine, thanks so much for the time and the the info from the conference.
Yeah, thank you.
That was correspondent Shermaine Lee in Baku, Azerbaijan, attending the COP29 conference.
You know, Lori, in listening to Shermaine talk about what was happening at the conference, you can see there is optimism and there is, I don't want to say despair, but there is frustration.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We have a whole nother week of this conference. We'll see if they can shift the conversation to actually getting some agreement on financing and other realistic goals that are trying to be achieved.
This has been The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue and comment on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you next week.